The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from sunny Los Angeles, California, where we're sitting in a backyard relaxing our asses off, this is episode 126 of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
I think I should record this.
Oh, hey, Chelsea.
Hello.
She put hello.
Hello, chap. Oh, I should have probably started recording.
That's all good.
We're recording.
Right. We are recording right now.
Right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 126 of Thinking Outside the Long Box, the Max Relax episode in sunny Los Angeles, California. We are doing our live Facebook fan interaction stuff. Right now we have Chelsea on with us and another viewer. If you shoot us any comments, any questions, we will be sure to answer them as quickly as possible. But we are also going to smoke some Cuban cigars.
Oh, I was like, somebody smoked already, but smoking a cigarette.
We're going to smoke some Cuban cigars. We're going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con, and we're just going to hang out.
Oh, Chelsea likes cigars.
Yeah, what cigars you got
there? I just saved a Cohiba. I have a Monte Cristo. And then we have Romeo and Juliet's. They all came from Cuba when we went there.
And we're having Cuban
I've seen Cuba on a map.
Oh, and we're eating Cuban food, apparently.
So we're not in Los Angeles.
We're having Gordos. I mean, Portos.
We're not in Los Angeles anyway. We're in West Covina.
Yeah, we're...
Oh, my bad.
We don't want to give anybody, like, our work correct address.
Nice. Well, it's not like we're sitting there saying the address is 1953 West Covina area. I was trying to make up a fake street style name so that I didn't like even come close to accidentally giving away your address. Oof. I feel like I would accidentally chop something off with that.
You're sticking it.
No.
Yeah, those things are dangerous.
You should show the camera that.
I didn't mean your finger, by the way.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, the camera's way up there.
Yeah. So when we talk to the camera, we should try to talk
out
there.
I don't
want to
talk to the camera.
So we're here in the backyard of Juan and Alicia's aunt's house.
That was her.
She's very excited. We probably a couple hours ago, we got back from sunny San Diego, California.
I look like I'm dealing dope or fucking doing crack or something.
No, it doesn't look like that at all. It looks like you're trimming cigars. As someone that recently was involved in a drug deal.
Who, you?
Yeah, remember I told you about that when I went to Missouri? It was all weird because buying marijuana in Missouri is not like legal, so you're in like this sketchy dude's house, like buying something that you can go to like a store and buy back home, and it's funny. So, oh man. Anyway,
sounds funny.
So, San Diego Comic-Con, it was an absolute blast. You've already, you know, obviously, if you're watching this live now, you're getting it live. But if you are listening to this episode in order on the podcast, you've heard us talk about some of the stuff that has happened already on the last few episodes, as well as our latest pop culture classic was Revenge of the Nerds. So be sure to check that out if you are watching this live. Check out Revenge of the Nerds. Give us some comments and some ideas about what you like / dislike about that movie. If you dislike things about it, we will ignore your comments because we don't care, because that movie is amazing. So... But Juan, how was your experience as you continue?
It was good.
Maybe you don't put it down on the table. Here, we'll put it on my
bed. It's gonna be clinky.
Yeah, it'll be all like clang clang.
Oh, cigar
down. Last time I had cigars, I got sick.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You were at our house.
The time before that. And I don't think it was the cigars. I think it was like the 8 Bloody Marys I drank.
It was the weed.
No, I had cigars with my friend on like a Sunday, and it was like Bloody Mary special
day. Oh, Alicia's already lit up hers. Sorry,
is it easy to smoke that one? Mm-hmm. They said the humidor says they're good. So. So what were we talking about? Sorry.
We're just talking about San Diego, talking about whatever we want to talk about. This is the
Chelsea, what do you want to talk about?
I don't see the point of cigars when you can't.
Don't inhale it, Gabe.
I know, you don't inhale.
Yeah. Chelsea
it's
told me not to inhale.
It's very light.
It is very light. It's got a good flavor.
So that was the combination of problem I had the last time I was at Cigar Bar. I was straight inhaling it and drinking like Bloody Marys like they were going out of business.
Yeah, you did it all
wrong.
Did you want to try this one, though?
Within like an hour, I was like dying.
You're going to get with the other kind? Yeah, he's
sorry, I'm laughing at you.
That's okay.
Inhaling?
I'm just laughing at Gabe.
Like, is that any different than normal?
Yes.
No, you're constantly laughing at me. Are you kidding me? Oh, man.
Yeah, there's one on here for Bryce, right?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah. Here you go. Here you go, Bryce.
I just want a taste of it. Can I have a taste of yours, please?
I think mine is the same as hers, except for thick, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I thought it was spicy, a different
That's a Julie, Romeo and Juliet. These are the two Monte Cristos that kept
the Cohiba. Monte Cristos are, and the Cohibas are.
Quality audio spicy. Right now. Oh, man. So while you're lighting that up, I guess I'll talk about San Diego quite a bit.
To make it burn properly.
Oh, okay. Oh. I'll try to remember that.
Do we need an ashtray over here?
So, San Diego Comic-Con, as always, really good time. Second year there, it was nice to have Juan there the entire time this time. He helped me travel around, be prepared, not lose my mind. It's freaking great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was cool as shit.
Here, do you want
a little one?
This is my first year there all year.
Oh, yeah.
All day, all weekend.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm drunk.
Oh, are you on camera?
I was drunk.
Where are you going, baby?
I was coming over here to the ashtray, but...
Oh, there's more than one ashtray.
Yeah, this is...
Spitting on everything.
I'm sorry.
You're not even on the camera, are you?
Yeah, I'm on the camera.
Oh, okay. I thought you weren't looking at it.
It's pretty much pointed right at me.
Oh, it is.
Don't worry. I got set up.
Okay. All right.
I prepare things.
Okay, very good.
I'm a man that prepares things.
You did. You're prepared.
Are you sure?
He actually took a shower for this leg.
Wow, I need to take a shower after this. It has been a long, gross day.
He called you, baby.
Thank you for announcing that I took a shower. I'm sure my wife will be happy to know that I bathed.
Yeah, he's coming home clean.
The 16-hour van drive will be dirty and gross, too.
That's true.
Chelsea, what do you smoke?
Why are you talking about smoking?
Because we're smoking.
What do you think of yours?
Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever been there all weekend. I thought that was cool as shit. It was busy. But I don't think, like I said, you know, the last episode, I think we were on the showroom floor, maybe, like actually just wandering the showroom floor, maybe like 2 hours this year. Like it was really short.
Yeah, we didn't spend a ton of time on the showroom floor this year. Like the bulk of our time was actually doing like the press stuff, like interviewing people, going from place to place, and then doing the activations outside of the show was actually really, really fun and really interesting. The Amazon one was pretty great. The Amazon was pretty great. Doing the Ferris wheel for the Fox's Animation Domination was really cool. Getting to see the convention center from like 1,000 billion feet in the air.
Yeah. It was fun. You were scared.
I always get scared.
Telling you that fear is rational, and I think that made you more scared.
Mm-hmm.
You need to light up this side of the...
Okay. Yeah, you told me. I was like, I know it's an irrational fear that we, you know, could fall out of the Ferris wheel, and Juan says to me, no, that's a totally rational fear. I'm like,
rational.
Yeah, thanks, Juan. That's great. That helps.
Drop off.
Irrational is something that's made up. Yeah, there you go. Just like smoking a joint, bro.
Now twist it.
But don't inhale.
It is literally nothing like smoking a joint.
What else? What did you enjoy? Because we didn't talk about San Diego Comic-Con on the other show.
I know. That's why I saved it for this. I love doing interview stuff. I love being part of the press. I love going out and talking to people, finding out what they're working on, talking to Gabriel Rodriguez, who is the artist on Lock and Key, was a huge...
That show's coming out at some point, isn't it?
The show is coming out, and they're coming out with new issues of the comic. And here's this a little bit insight. You know, you probably will not have seen this quite yet or listened to this quite yet on the podcast, my interview with him. But he talked a lot about how the new I guess, like, iteration of Lock and Key is, like, a comic book is going to delve into the past of the Lock House and how they're going to be telling stories at, like, pivotal points in history with the Lock House, like the Revolutionary War, the First World War, that sort of thing. And then going back and telling the stories from the past as well as the characters that we know and love from, like, the current iteration of the Lock House. And that was really cool. Got to talk to him about architecture and how architecture fits into, like, the Lock House and Lock and Key. And, you know, talk to him about one of my favorite comic book artists who's also an architect. So that was really, really just fascinating and fun. Like, what a great conversation. That was one of the best things I did that I haven't talked about.
And they're serving as, like, producers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel and
Joe Hill. You may know Joe Hill because he's the son of Stephen King. We talked a little bit about telling, not showing, when it comes to horror. I know we talked about that a couple episodes back, where every once in a while you're watching a horror movie and it's suspense, 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 stupid dude in a rubber suit, you know?
Oh, ruin the whole movie. What am I eating?
That is a potato, meat and potato ball from, and then this is
that the tastes weird.
Meat pie, but it's kind of like a phyllo dough almost, so it's like a sweet dough. This is good. The cheese and the pepper one was good.
Here's what I don't understand about cigars. Like, if you don't inhale, like, are you supposed to get the nicotine? Just, like, how does that
through
work?
Through your gums.
Through your gums.
Through osmosis.
Through, mm-hmm.
It's
through,
in your mouth.
Through osmandius.
You can taste it.
I think it's for the look.
Yeah.
I think so.
Just a little.
That's it. That's why Fidel did it. Just
like,
so
what's funny
cool.
is, like, I don't know how to hold it because I'm used to holding them.
That's what the little things are for. So then, like, the females don't get the marks on their fingers.
Nice. That's kind of cool.
Yes. You seem to know a lot about that.
I listened when we were on
sorry,
the
I've wanted to do that, like,
oh,
most of my
good.
Life.
I listened to the attention to the
what did we do on Wednesday?
Let's see. Wednesday, we went and previewed the show. That was probably when we walked the showroom floor the most. What else did we do on Wednesday?
We didn't, though. We did the Amazon, the activation for Amazon.
And the Himi Kimi Hami Hua.
Oh, the Kamehameha.
I'm a giant fan that other people say it worse than I do.
I say it pretty good, though, huh?
You Kamehameha.
Kamehameha.
My favorite part of that is when I was interviewing the auditor from Guinness Book of World Records. He was like, please don't spit water everywhere. He was asking me about, he said, you know, this particular actor is going to be leading us all.
Yes.
He's all the actor who plays. I'm like, no idea.
He's all the actor who plays.
Like, I probably could have guessed Goku, but I'm not that familiar with the show. So I was just like, don't know why I'm help. And then why make fun of
me. You probably shouldn't be here.
I'm there.
Is that the guy that was up there talking at the very end before you guys did the...
No,
that was the actor.
There's two of them. So the Guinness Book of World Records guy got up and spoke, and then the guy who voices Goku got up and spoke. But even being there was super, super hard to hear what the hell they were saying at all. There was something going on. I guess they were using Wi-Fi mics.
So they were using wireless mics, and there was like a threshold where they had the podium. And, like, literally, if you faced one way on the podium, the mic wouldn't work. And if you faced the other way on it, it would. Like, that's how close they were to the barrier of the wireless mic. So you couldn't hear shit that they were saying. And it was, like, turned down really low.
Yeah, but it was weird.
We all knew what was going on.
I think he could have just yelled and been louder.
The best part about it, he could have. But he doesn't want to ruin his voice because that's how he makes the monies. The best part of it, I think, was just seeing, like, how diverse and how, like, enthusiastic the fandom was for it.
It's like, it was, you thought I wouldn't like
it. It was like, no, that's the one. It was so exciting to me that it actually makes me want to go and, like, seek out, like, Dragon Ball Z stuff and see what it's like. I did see a shirt that was fucking amazing this week. It, like, had, like, a Dragon Ball on it, and it said Dragon Ball Z. But, like, the spacing between the dragon and ball was right here, and the spacing for the Z was, like, kind of weird. So it looked like it said Dragon Balls. And that made me laugh my ass off. It made me laugh so hard I told Juan. What else did we do? So that pretty much covered Wednesday.
I think we did something Wednesday night. the hell did we do Wednesday night?
I don't even know.
Wrestling? Is that what we did wrestling?
We did go to wrestling. We went to Fist Combat TV at Fist Combat TV on Twitter and Instagram. That was, I mean, it's professional wrestling, but professional wrestling in the sense that it's in a
amateur
bar.
Amateur professional wrestling? And
no, they're not amateurs. Those dudes get paid for that. Okay, so here's the thing.
Does an amateur not get paid?
Yeah, that's literally the definition of amateur and professional, is amateurs don't get paid and professionals do.
I just I think I'm talking about skill level, not
No. The difference between amateur and professional is amateurs don't get paid and professionals.
No. But I'm talking complete skill level.
Complete.
You might get $50 a night, but that might be your first wrestling match. You're still an amateur wrestler.
I don't know about that. I believe as soon as you get paid, you become a professional.
Maybe, but your skill set is at the amateur level.
I mean, I'm sure you're right, but I would say of the guys that were in the ring, half of them were.
Can you grab me a water, please?
Half of them were not good. Like half of them were really, really not good. I would say of the other half of those guys were like on the cusp of being pretty good.
Right.
And then there's about a quarter of them that were actually like really fairly good wrestlers.
Yeah, you got to kind of roll it on the edge.
I'm not getting yelled at. I don't know.
No, when you try to get the tip off.
I'm so used to.
So then it burns properly.
You're right.
Dabba was a big takeaway. I can't remember his name.
Me neither.
But he had massive breasts.
Yes.
And was a freaking tank
was like
in
a
the
double
ring.
D.
Dude, and what was crazy about it is he went and went and went. Like, he was in the ring for, like, a cool half an hour of just, like, straight.
Well, yeah, it was a battle royal.
Yeah, but, I mean, not just it was a battle royal. It wasn't, like, there were no real moments where he did the, I get, you know, laid down and just lay in the corner dead. He was, like, taking, like.
Hello, third listener.
Bumps and bumps and bumps. It's me, Alicia, and.
Oh,
Chelsea.
You're listening, too?
Yeah. Just trying to get those views.
No,
up.
You're good.
You don't have to greet everybody that shows up.
I do.
You really shouldn't, actually.
I like it.
It's really distracting.
That's
and
okay.
Makes live videos not work very well.
I love it.
I hate it. It's the worst, like, when people do that.
I love it.
Yeah, well, it's super shitty and unprofessional.
I love it.
You missed the whole episode.
I know. I'm terrible at this.
Really? All sorts.
The big takeaway from the wrestling event. So I recognized one of the guys that was one of their champions on not the heel tag team, but the other tag team, and not the DKZ guy, the other guy. So not the karate guy, but the guy that came out in the robe. I recognized him and I couldn't place from where. And then on Thursday, I was watching The Road to All Out on YouTube from AEW, and he is one of the people that wrestles as the librarian, which is like a terribly stupid gimmick. There's a male, the librarian, and a female, the librarian, and they shush each other all the time, and it's super fucking annoying, but he's actually like a fairly decent wrestler, and that is where I recognize him from. So that dude that we watched...
It's weird that they wouldn't have announced him... At all like
well,
that.
I think his gimmick is probably, like, his gimmick as the librarian is probably signed as contractual to AEW, and outside AEW, he wrestles as someone else.
No, so. I know that, but, I mean, it's just weird that they wouldn't have even, I mean, not call him the librarian, but not even just,
like in
a,
their advertising
an AEW star or something, you know?
You can say superstar. Or
whatever.
Is that, like... Or is that, like, just too close to WWE brand?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool, though.
To me.
Like, we got to watch a legit AEW wrestler. That was fun. That matters to me. I know you care less.
I've never done that.
Are you a legit wrestler?
But the show was fun, though. It was super dorky and a lot of fun. The last match was really good, and I fell in love with the heel tag team on it. So it was great stuff. Let's see, what do we do on Thursday?
Side note, Chelsea said, shut the fuck up, Gabe. It makes us live viewers feel like we're part of it.
Oh, whatever. I hate it.
Just saying.
I hate it.
Just saying.
You're right.
Chelsea's right because she listens.
How come it's not? Cool. How come it didn't pop up there?
It's because you're not scrolling.
That's why. My gosh.
Mm-hmm. We got 4 viewers now. So there's another.
Oh, what's up, John?
John left you.
Oh, never mind. Bye, John.
Drew Estates is all good.
Oh, probably because I asked her what she smoked.
Oh, there
she
we go.
As far as cigars go.
I didn't realize I wasn't scrolling down. Sorry, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Me bitching at Juan about being unprofessional. What'd you see? What'd you see on Thursday that you really enjoyed, Juan?
I don't remember. What would you do on Thursday? I need the whole recap. That's the problem. I don't know what the fuck we did.
Here we go. To my calendar.
Thursday, you guys did some interviews. You did the RV tour.
We did the outdoor activation for Ripley's, believe it or not. That was really
okay,
fun.
Okay, so that was fun. We were late to it because of how, what things are called. I hate California, by the way, for that reason.
Fucking everything is confusing.
What things are called?
So, yeah, we went to Petco Park. That's where this event was supposed to be. And so we're like, all right, I have my GPS walking us to Petco Park. And so the Petco Park is, there's multiple properties that are called Petco that are encompassed under Petco Park, but they're called something else. And so it was called Lexus something, but it's a Petco Park property.
It was like
so
Lexus.
That's where it was.
It was like the Lexus field at Petco Park, and it was across the street and all weird and dumb. I do not hate the live
Gabe
viewers,
hates
Chelsea.
The live viewers. I love it. But that was fun. The outdoor thing was cool. They had a car that was made of wood that didn't drive.
It was a
submersive
boat.
Vehicle.
It was a Ferrari boat
made
of wood.
Yeah, it was cool
wood,
as shit.
Which is like a very niche idea, if you ask me.
They had a VW, a small older VW that was covered in Canadian coins.
No. It was a Mini Cooper.
Oh, it was a Mini Cooper?
Oh,
it was a Mini Cooper.
They had a Hummer that they had made out of wood and lottery tickets. I thought that was pretty fun. And then we went into...
Cool-ass motorcycle?
Yeah, the motorcycle
the,
made
like,
of bones.
Like skeleton?
It was
yeah,
made of bones.
That was cool as shit.
We went to the indoor booth for Ripley's Believe It or Not that day too, and talked to them about the new show a little bit, and also about the Ripley's Believe It or Not museums. What was cool about the booth and the activation versus the stuff that we did a couple days later about the show is that the show tends to focus on like humans that have extraordinary abilities, mm-hmm. and the booths and museums focus on like Ripley's actual like museum and stuff.
Right,
I thought that
right.
was a really cool distinction between the two. So we went to the gamifying technology panel with wrong one. No, stop that.
The gentleman who invented Chuck E. Cheese.
Not just Chuck E. Cheese. Ooh. He was the inventor of Atari and Chuck E.
Well.
Cheese.
Alicia, I thought, would like Chuck E. Cheese. That's why I said
Atari?
That.
Joe would love that.
And
he would know that. Is this guy's name?
Zai Ortiz, who is the guy.
What's the other guy's name, though?
Oh, Nolan Bushnell.
There you go.
Well, Nolan Bushnell is the guy that came up with Atari and Chuck E. Cheese, and then Zai Ortiz is the guy that created, basically did all the design work for Iron Man and the Tron reboot
and
Jarvis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the two, Nolan Bushnell, and the two of them basically have teamed together to create an AI game that you play as a board game, but it works with your Alexa, has a bunch of voice actors and stuff.
Seems cool.
It is a really cool looking game. We talked to the guys at Prop Store again. This year they're focusing on the Netflix Marvel series. Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist for what they're selling. They have like the Daredevil suits and the
one from the second season or third season.
They have the first, second, and third seasons of it. Like they have all of the stuff. But the one that they had at the booth when we were talking to them was actually the stunt suit. So the batons were made of like foam rubber, so that if he makes contact with somebody, he's not busting it over their head. I thought that was pretty funny.
Hey, Dom. What's up, Dom?
I'll never chide you for it again. You're welcome, Juan. You win.
You're welcome, Chelsea. They're feeling special.
I know. Dom.
Except for Dom. Dom's going to be an asshole.
Dom feels special. Dom feels special all the time.
Dom is special.
The other thing that was really cool, that was it went up my nose.
Yeah.
The other thing that was really cool about it was they had Luke Cage's like bullet riddled hoodie. I thought that was really cool.
They have some cool ass shit.
They always have really cool stuff. As well as smaller things, of course, you can go to Prop Store and check that stuff out.
There, I think the auction for the Marvel stuff is going on right now.
Yes.
And he said
it goes through like the second week in August, if I remember correctly.
And the guy said that they have, and I've looked at kind of what their previous stuff was, and they have stuff that's, you know, if you just want to own something from a TV show, that's it's like $100 bucks. Yeah, you can get some. It may be a pin or a button or something, but.
Well, I mean, it could be the Nelson and Murdoch sign. Yeah. Who knows? They had all sorts of really cool stuff.
The Punisher's X-ray from his skull. That was
Was really cool. I loved that one.
Ta-da-da! Excuse me, Joe. Here it is. May I give you the response from Joe? I said.
What did you tell him?
I asked him. I said,
this is my wife's cousin.
Let me see, Joe. He said, I said, do you know if Nolan Bushnell invented Atari? He said, he did! Exclamation mark. And he also founded Chuck E. Cheese as well in 1977.
Yeah. An interesting thing, so I listened to this podcast called Dakota Ring that's really interesting, where they kind of delve deep into, like, kind of weird aspects of, like, pop culture that nobody knows about. And they did an episode, like, literally a couple months ago that was Chuck E. Cheese versus Showbiz Pizza and like how all of that happened. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting about Chuck E. Cheese is that animatronics were originally there to entertain the parents. Like they were there and they played like, you know, hits of the time so that the parents had something to watch and do so they could just tell their kids, go play games and leave me alone. Like, and then that totally backfired. So let's see if I can do it right this time. This.
Yeah, there you go.
I did it right. Chelsea, I did it right. then we talked to Akito from Toho, which was
really cool.
Unbelievably cool.
I was telling
cool.
them about that today.
So this is the first time that Toho and Godzilla have ever come to San Diego Comic-Con for the 65th anniversary of Godzilla, as well as the 50th anniversary of San Diego Comic-Con. And they talked about all sorts of cool stuff that they're working on. They're working on a Godzilla theme park in Japan, which I imagine is just you pretending that you stomp over buildings and stuff. Like, they talked about how when they were trying to get the resurgence. Thank you, Chelsea. I appreciate the vote of confidence there.
Don't talk to the audience.
They talked about how when they were trying to make the big comeback, for Toho and the new Godzilla movie and stuff, they put a life-size Godzilla head on the top of a building and, like, basically did it overnight.
In Japan.
They did it overnight so that people wouldn't know what happened. Like, all sorts of really cool stuff. I can't wait for you guys to listen to that interview. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It seemed cool. I don't know if they didn't want it on camera or if it was just because of the translator thing. It might look kind of weird, but I was just away talking to the dude. To the PR guy who set it up. It was funny coincidence. So we go to the Toho booth, and there's a dude, we're waiting, and there's a dude in front of us that's on a phone. And Gabe's like, oh, I bet that's the guy, you should text him. So I texted him, and I said, hey, I think I'm right behind you. And so he looks, that guy didn't move. And then the guy who I'm actually texting was like, nope, not you behind me. and then we found each other and all that shit. But it was funny because he said that he was literally like across the hall from, it was like 5 feet from me.
Yeah, he was like 5 to 10 feet away.
And so the guy in front of me, I think my main contact was Matt. And so the guy in front of me who wasn't the guy, his name was Matt. And so he's like, if you would have asked for that name, it would have been the same guy, but the wrong guy. So it was just a coincidence. It was really funny. It made me laugh.
Later on that evening, we went to the Orville activation, which was really, really cool.
Albio liked that.
Yeah, Albio really liked that. The neat thing about it, so it wasn't, unlike the Amazon activations that were like fully acted out, which we've talked about a ton already this weekend, this was more like a showcase of like props and costumes, like, art, like concept art from the show, and like kind of the process that's going on. They had a book available, which they were kindly gave us a free copy of, that is an in-world book from the Orville.
It's fucking awesome.
It's super, super cool.
I'm
one was,
I'm
one was like,
show it off to Albie.
One was like, can I have it? I was like, absolutely. Like, I mean, what
oh,
am I going to
so
do?
Cool.
It's so cool.
It's like profile. So I just randomly flipped to a page so I could take a picture, and it's Bordis's page, and then it's just his profile, like where he comes from and shit like that. It's really, really cool. And it's thick.
I remember the other thing we did on Wednesday that we didn't talk about, the bodega.
Oh,
the Super 7 bodega.
That was cool.
So that, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
But, like, the Orville experience was really interesting. Like, and genuinely, it was just, like, a showcase of things from the show. Not as exciting as some of the other stuff we did, but just really cool to see.
It was cool because it was cool to see the, they had some of the, like, Bordis's head and some of the big, like, they're not, what are the, like, I don't think they're rubber.
They're latex.
Latex, there you
masks.
Go. Latex.
Yeah.
So there was three big ones in the center.
And you get
a
sense
of
like, how just genuinely uncomfortable it would probably be to wear that for hours and hours.
Just, you're probably in it for, like, 2 hours, and you're probably putting you in it for about 6 hours. So.
Right. And it probably takes about
lot.
30 hours to make.
Huh? What are those things?
They're like the latex masks that they wear.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Orville's a science fiction show.
Oh, if you haven't seen
I've
it, you should
it.
Definitely.
It's really,
it.
Really
it's
funny.
It's funny.
Yeah, no, I have seen some of it. Yeah, it looks, and it takes that long.
Oh,
to,
yeah.
To get into these big latex outfits, yeah, it takes a long time.
Got to meet Scott Steiner that day, too.
Oh, yeah.
And Shane Helms.
I didn't tell you that because you don't know who that
who
is,
the day,
a wrestler.
The day afterwards, or no, that night, Shane Helms showed up at a panel and attempted to win the 24/7 belt from R-Truth, and that's really, really funny. And I had just met him earlier in the day. So moving on to Friday, we sat and talked with Sherilyn Kenyon, who we talked to last year, too. Best-selling author, just a massive body of like dark fantasy / horror work, really good stuff. Like, I've been listening to it on Hoopla and really enjoying it. Checked out the Legion M Fan Lounge and their rooftop pop-up party. That's about the third time I've successfully said that.
That was Pop Insiders.
Yeah, but it was also Pop Insider Legion M. It was both, but that was really cool. I got my Swank Mandy hat at that.
Or I got my movies hat.
You got
Legion
your movies
M
hat. It was really fun. In front of the movies lounge, they had or movies lounge. In front of the Legion M lounge, they had the actual set of the Quick Stop from Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
And the trailer came out.
Trailer came out. That was pretty cool.
I cannot wait for them.
Neither can I. Super exciting. Legion M, obviously, like one of the. One of the things that we shill for with no recompense from them, but we love the stuff that they do. After the Legion M Lounge, we went to...
We had the awesome Indian that day.
Yeah, we did. Oh, you had the YOLO taco.
Yeah,
you were the first person to order it. So at least four people asked you if you enjoyed it or not, and that was pretty awesome. After that, we went and got... Yeah, I got the squiggly line hat, Chelsea. Thank you very much. It's right here. Squiggly line hat.
Nobody likes your squiggly line hat.
Oh, yeah, shit. I like your squiggly line hat. After that, we went and got into...
It's the title of the movie.
It says Mandy on it, but
there.
It's done in like a... It's done in a font that's reminiscent of like heavy metal bands. So,
yeah,
so yeah, I love it. Next, we went to the Titmouse RV. And talk to Chris about the things that...
I don't know. We didn't ask him where the name came from.
Oh, it's a bird's name. It's a type of bird. And he probably just thinks it's fucking funny. Like, that's probably where it comes from. But we talked to them about the stuff that they're working on.
I almost died in that RV, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We did it. So here's what's cool about the Titmouse RV.
It's very cool.
Is for San Diego Comic-Con, he is saying that his friends and family, they rent a couple RVs. Then they go park at an RV park so that during the day the kids and stuff can just hang out and do whatever. He can drive to the convention, and as he's doing interviews and meeting with his friends and stuff like that, he just drives around in this RV and gets drunk and eats ice cream and just hangs out and has fun, you know? And so we got to sit, you know, for a go round, which was a longer drive than I was anticipating by a long shot.
45 minutes or so.
I was waiting for us to be in there for 15 minutes and him to be like, all right, nerd, get the fuck out of here. But we talked a lot. We talked a lot about how this year for him is kind of a memorial to John Schnepp, who passed away last year, like literally a couple days ago last year.
It was during Comic-Con.
Yeah, during Comic-Con, we had heard about it, you know, from Kevin Smith at the
Hollywood Babylon.
You know, it was cool. He had a picture up that he was making everybody toast to, and I loved that. Director of Metalocalypse, which is an amazing cartoon that I'm absolutely a giant fan of. We talked a lot about Big Mouth and how Big Mouth, while humorous and amazing, can also be used as like sex education.
I've never seen it, so.
Oh, it's, you should watch it. It's really funny. It is the kind of lowbrow humor that you and I enjoy. We also talked with one of the actors in Critical Role whose name has escaped me.
Me too.
Consistently.
We didn't even look it up after we said it the first time.
But we talked to them about the upcoming Critical Role cartoon, which will be really, really cool. Just a great time. I met Chris randomly last year and went to the Death Saves clothing release party with him, and he literally got me a solo cup of whiskey for free and was then totally trashed for the entire night. But it was really cool to get the opportunity to talk to him. I love the shit that Titmouse does, and I love cartoons. So there you go. And then finally that day, we went and talked to O'Nips at O'Nips all of the social medias. She told me to not call her by her real name, so I'm not gonna.
Her stage name.
She told me also that we should be on Twitch, and I said, what's that, because I'm old? And then she laughed, and we had, like, a really, really good...
I don't think we asked her why she calls herself O'Nips either.
I don't either. Huh. But, yes, Chelsea, it is hilarious. She seconds the Big Mouth thing. Like, you would love it. But she was awesome. We talked a lot about...
She had a lot of high energy.
Yeah, we talked a lot about deviant art and, like, how the internet has, like, really helped her art career, and how if it weren't for the internet, she probably would have been a doctor. Like, she was going to medical school, and it wasn't... I love that she, like, qualified it. I wanted to go to medical school. It's not something my parents were trying to force me into. I love that. I actually saw her the day afterwards walking down the hall. We both did, like, the metal dude head nod to each other, and I thought that was really funny. So she was really, really cool. Like,
her art's good.
I'm really excited to read more of her comic and check out even more of her
son
art.
Son of a bitch.
What?
You switched it to the top end mic.
Well, it's...
I don't know how that's going to sound. I might have to steal the audio from this is good.
We'll figure it out. It must be decently good because people like Chelsea keeps commenting. Cool. So, but yeah, O'Nips, go find her on all of the socials. Check out her Twitch channel because that's what the young hip kids do.
We gotta be young hips kids here pretty soon. I almost said young hips.
Yeah,
I need some young hips.
I need some young hips in the sense that I probably need some fucking hip transplant surgery at some point. Let's see. Then yesterday, we went to the Stern Pinball Lounge and we played a butt ton of pinball. Hung out. Talk to the people from Stern Pinball about some of the great things that they have on offer, including Black Knight, which is like a straight up heavy metal soundtracked pinball machine with music from Brendan Smalls, who does Metalocalypse, and also Home Movies for Mel, because she'll get upset if I don't mention Home Movies because it's like her favorite fucking cartoon. And we talked about the Stern Army and joining in on like the competitions that they do and how like the depth and breadth or width and breadth of the entire fandom of pinball just crosses all lines.
Right.
Gender, age, whatever. Like, because no matter who you are, pinball is fucking fun.
While we were waiting for at the Nuclear Blast booth.
Well, okay, go ahead.
There was an old man there who was playing pinball.
And he walked away and he's like, oh man, this is awesome. And he seemed kind of like, ah, we got to go, you know. And I was like, oh, go to, you know, the Marriott. They have 15 pinball machines that you can just go play. And they're like, really? Where is that? And they had to be in their like 50s or something like that. So I thought that was pretty cool. But they were super excited for the pinball lounge.
It was cool. In the pinball lounge, like there were just everybody. Every kind of age, every kind of person just having a blast. We also went to the esports area. Check that out for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. The esports, I played Galaga there.
You didn't just play Galaga. What'd you do?
I got the high score.
You got the damn high score. That's right.
I think I played one other thing. What else did I play? You were playing
Golden Tee, it looks like. Because I love that game.
I sat down and played something else, but I was pretty tied to the Galaga booth or the Galaga game.
After that, I went to the Impulse Roundtables to talk about the second season of Impulse on YouTube Red, and that was really cool, talking to the principal actors. I got told that I was the veteran interviewer, which was really funny to me because it's like our second year there.
I think maybe you just heard them say that you look like a veteran.
No, they probably just said, you look old, bitch. Like, why are you so old? I love that we've been holding these mics for like 40 minutes for no reason.
Like, well, I don't know now. Just in case.
I just think it's funny. But while I was at the Impulse Roundtable, you were at Ripley's panel. Tell us a little bit about that, man.
Well, I showed you some of the videos that I took. Well, I think I showed you just the one. So the three guys that were there, aside from Bruce Campbell, were... oh, shit. I can't remember his real name, but the guy who has a skull that's I think it was 2.3 times thicker than a normal human skull. His nickname was Hammerhead. I don't know what's going on over there right now. His nickname was Hammerhead. I don't remember the name of the lady with the prosthetic arm. And then it was Shorty Dangerously was the guy with just a half a body. So it was three people up there, and it was literally just about. That's probably going to be heard on the internets, by the way. Huh?
Did though, and it's.
Oh, gotcha. I'm with you.
Would you like to know more?
It was about their. It was essentially very little about. I mean, Bruce gave an introduction about Ripley's. And about him hosting and that it's, you know, how long it's been and that kind of thing. But then the rest of the panel was really about the people, the three people that were there and you know, who they were. He gave a clip of every single person's life and all of that kind of stuff. And it was 30 minutes of them and then 30 minutes of people just asking them questions, what their hobbies are. Somebody asked Shorty if he was in a band, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was really cool because it wasn't about... You'd expect in a panel with Bruce Campbell that everybody was just going to ask him about Evil Dead and, you know, that kind of bullshit. And it had nothing to do with that, which was really cool.
Which is cool because that's like the thrust of the show, too. Like, he talked extensively about that in our press conference with him, that it was so much more about the people that he's interacting with over him. And I thought that was really cool.
The lady who had the prosthetic arm, she was born without half an arm. So she just had a little stump. And the prosthetic, she's like, they're doing, it has something to do with the muscles and nerves in her arm that she can make the hand move.
Ah, that's cool.
And so they had a bunch of companies have her try out their new prosthetic arms. And I guess one of them was for the Defense Department. And so she couldn't tell us. The totality of that, exactly. She couldn't tell us the totality of what that all included. But
some fucking RoboCop shit. That's what that is.
And the other cool thing is she covered up all the logos because the companies put their logo on the arm, and she would covers them all the time. And she's like, shit, if they want me to advertise for them, they can pay me. And it was hilarious.
That's good
it was
stuff.
Really funny. But she had a couple people had her take her hand off because her arm is a different part than the gears in the arm and then a different part from the hand. And so she takes off her arm and she can do a bunch. She has a bunch of different attachments for the hand. And one of them was attached to a giant lightsaber. And so she put on this giant lightsaber attachment that was cool as shit. And I think I have a video of that. So it was really fun.
And then later in that day, we had the opportunity to also do the press conference with Bruce Campbell, where it was just Bruce Campbell talking about the show. Really cool. A lot of great questions asked all around, like I feel, except for from the one dude who just wanted to know about him playing
Spider-Man.
Mysterio in Spider-Man 4. And that was hilarious. Him basically saying, Sam Raimi never approached me for that. I like that one. I'll take. Oh, if you. Never mind. Sorry. I just like food. he said, Sam Raimi never approached me to do Mysterio. And now Jake Gyllenhaal, pretty boy, he's got his millions of dollars and go. And like it went from. They never approached me, but also like intense bitterness towards Jake Gyllenhaal. Like it was pretty funny. It was a good press conference. Told us about his UFO encounter too, but you'll have to listen to that.
One of the questions that I actually really enjoyed, one of the guys to our right had asked him, you know, hey, I see that you're an executive producer on the show. You know, how did that come about, or what does that mean as far as stroke and power goes? And his response was simple. It's the only thing I'm here to do as far as the host and the executive producer goes is to make sure that we're not talking about these people in a down, like we're not talking down to them. We're being respectful about these people and what they're, because some of them are disabilities and some of these things are things that they've had to deal with through their whole life. And so we're here to celebrate them as opposed to showing them off like freaks or something.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was really cool too, that what he felt was important as an executive producer was to say, we're celebrating these people. So, the other thing we did that day was we talked to Gabriel Rodriguez, which I already talked about earlier. And of course, what you have already said is the best part of the day for you.
One of them was.
Wednesday, we went past the Nuclear Blast booth and I picked up a t-shirt. And while we were there, Juan noticed that, go ahead. I'm going to let you tell the story.
I've told it already. I noticed they were doing a signing with El Hijo del Santo, who, if you're Hispanic or Latino, you probably know who that is. That's probably, I mean, if you're an American, just a normal everyday American, even a wrestling American, you may not know who that is.
Yeah.
And so
you got to be a pretty big wrestling fan to dive past like WWE, to be really honest.
Santo and his son are big. It's a big, big wrestling family.
Movies, in the Hispanic, books, comic books,
old-timey, like Spanish movies.
Black and white
really,
movies.
Yeah, it's really
like
weird.
From the 40s and 50s and so stuff. Santo wrestling, like, werewolves and space aliens and shit. Like, that stuff's so good.
So, it's something that I told you earlier, it's something that I know who they were. I know who he was. I know the family, but I didn't ever watch him. But my dad had always talked about it. Maybe not always, but he's talked about it. And we've watched it. I went to Mexico every year of my life until I was like 13. And so wrestling was big there. It was on somewhere. And it was a big deal that he would even be there. So I wanted to make sure that I got in line to have him sign something for me. And while we were talking, you were getting your thing. You had asked me to see if we could, you know, talk to him. And so I went and I talked to the main guy. I think he was the main. I think his name was Oscar. And he's like, yeah, he's down to do interviews. He'll say yes to pretty much anything I ask him. More fans ask him because he's super, super nice. And so he said, you know, come back on Saturday. Wait for the signing to be done because he wants to do that first. Even I wanted to get in line, which I did anyways. And then I'm sure he'll do something for 10 or 15 minutes. And so we did it on Saturday, and it was nerve-wracking the whole time because I didn't want to screw it up because I don't speak Spanish in a way that's like proper, and I, you know, it's not something I studied. I don't know how to write in Spanish. I don't know how to read in Spanish. I can probably get my way through a book, but I'm not a very well-versed reader when it comes to Spanish. And so I just didn't want to sound stupid in front of somebody who is super important.
He's like a fucking legend.
Yeah.
Dude. Like, it's a big deal.
It was freaky because it was at the end of the, it almost felt like the day, even though I think there were still 2 or 3 hours in the day, it almost felt like for that amount of time, the day had wrapped. And there was probably 5 or 6 Nuclear Blast employees, just watching and listening. And if there's one thing I don't like is if people just randomly listen to me speak Spanish. And it's because a lot of the times when you tell somebody you speak Spanish, they want you to say something in Spanish like I'm a goddamn monkey. And I don't like that at all. So
could you
just
say I'm a goddamn monkey
yeah,
in Spanish
I could.
Real quick?
No. So it freaks me out. I don't like it. And so, but it was, I had probably 6 or 7 people staring at me. And then as we're speaking, I noticed that there's this giant professional camera pointing and filming the whole thing. And it freaked me out even more because it's nerve wracking. It's now I got to look good on camera and make sure that I'm saying things correctly.
Oh, you always look good on camera.
But, that's not true. That's why we speak normally through this shit. And so it felt like with Nuclear Blast, like essentially stopping and just paying attention and then somebody filming it felt like everything had stopped. Like you didn't notice the thousands of people that were traipsing around you at that point. And so it felt really, really important, and that was cool to me. And I think we got probably pretty close to 10 minutes worth
of for sure. We got some, you know, we had a couple little interruptions because obviously if somebody wants to give him money to get another signing, you got to take that break. You got to respect the people that are trying to make money.
And it'll come out we recorded it in a way that it would be, you would know, like you said it in English, I said it in Spanish to him, and then he responded to me in Spanish, and then I repeated it in
English.
We
did some NPR shit this weekend, dude. We had two multilingual interviews this weekend.
It's
weird. It's so weird because one of the big takeaways for me is it feels like it's a step in like a really big direction for me. So, what's up, Chris? How's it going, man? But, yeah, like I just thought that was really, really cool to
do
that
with
him.
Even though it may not be an interview that gets the most, weirdly enough, our most downloaded episode comes from a band who we interviewed. That's the single-handedly biggest downloaded episode we have. And even though this may not be that, it feels a lot more important than some of the interviews we've done, to me at least.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. There's definitely interviews that I know aren't a big deal to a lot of people that are listeners or maybe to you, but that are a huge deal to me in that same way. And that's really cool. Like, it's cool to walk away from the convention with that satisfied feeling of I did something that's really important to me. So, and then we hope that our listeners and viewers now also find it just as awesome. Bobby Joe, how's it going?
I was going to say, I do not know that person.
That is my sister-in-law, effectively. So it's my brother's partner. So,
oh, they're not married.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's my sister. She's awesome. Top 5 interviews.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
That's hard. We've interviewed so many people.
Top 5 interviews overall with the show or just from this week, Chelsea? And while you answer
you
that, we'll talk a little bit.
Talk.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, delay. God damn it. So generally, walking away from San Diego Comic-Con this year, like I have this feeling that it was a little easier because I had help those first 2 days. It was a little less overwhelming because I've been there before. My top 5 interviews this week, man, Bruce Campbell, for sure.
Yeah.
El Hijo de Santo. For sure.
Definitely.
Gabriel Rodriguez, for sure.
I wasn't there for that one.
Oh, man, it was great. Like, getting to talk to him about, like, architecture and comic books, getting to talk to him about, like, magical realism, because he's a South American, like, you know, comic book creator, and how magical realism is such a big part of, like, Lock and Key was really, really cool. It's an awesome interview. I love doing stuff like that. Being able to, let's see, so I said Bruce Campbell, Hijo de Santo, Akito from Toho, Gabriel Rodriguez.
That's four.
My fifth one, honestly, it's probably somebody that we haven't talked about very much. The first day that we were there, we picked up Ryan Roth's commission from, yes, top 5 on the next episode for you, for sure, Chelsea. The commission that we picked up for our Patreon supporter, Ryan Roth, we got to sit and talk with, Albert Nguyen. Yes, did it right. And that was really cool. Like, I love getting to talk to like independent, like comic book writers and artists. And there's other little tidbits in there that we haven't touched on. A guy from Pakistan named Mustafa, who has done a fellowship with some Pakistani young adults, basically. Fossum, we'll get to the top five exhibits here in a second. But we also talked to a lady that said that does the My Golden Ass comic book. She was great. We talked to
My Golden S.
It's about a superhero that's always also...
it stands for Amazing Sexy Spy.
Yes, she's a spy that's also on Tinder. And that's basically the plot of the comic book. Thought that was really funny. And of course, we talked to our favorite comic book publishers of all time, Fanbase Press.
Yes. So. We tried to get over to your booth, Frank Gogol. You weren't there.
You were not there.
Sorry.
And Andy Mangles also could not make that happen. Too much running around.
There's way too much going.
It's just nuts.
And the thing is, like, you've repeated it before, but like, since there's only two of us, I want to get work done too. You know, if Chris Pernofsky had said, hey, let's go to this fucking party tonight, I would have probably been like, all right, cool, let's do it, you know. But
we also would have been taking pictures of the entire thing.
And in all reality, I want to try my least to go do things that don't further why we're here.
Right.
And so if we have a chance to go back, even though the internet was awful, if we have a chance to go back and actually work, I'd rather do that. As lame as that sounds.
All right. For Fossum, as we're wrapping up, because we're getting close to the hour mark, which is a little long for our episodes now.
Oh, yeah. We're going to eat in and out.
That is number one of top five exhibits, In-N-Out Burger. No, just kidding.
There was an So we're walking out one day, and there's a guy dressed in an In-N-Out outfit.
Like,
to the T.
To the T.
He's
perfect.
Got the little iPad that you take orders from. Like, he looks fucking perfect.
I walk up to him and I go, do you work at In-N-Out? And he goes, would you like to place an order? I'm all, that doesn't really answer my question, but that's dope. And then he gave me like one of the little paper hats. He had like a bunch of the paper hats and everything.
So he dressed for work.
Cosplaying as probably what he does for a living. All right. So here we go, Fossum. Number five. One of the best exhibits that I saw was the Unicron Transformer. They had it in the planet form and in the robot form. And like, no fooling. Here, I'm going to put the mic down for 2 seconds. This big. My head, a fully functioning Transformer toy that was just enormous.
I'm going to interrupt here. The thing you got to know about the booths is that if they're in the convention center, the booths aren't really an attraction. They're just booths. Like Marvel's booth is literally just a stage, and then they have like props and stuff around it.
Yeah,
like it's not. They're not interactive. If you want that, you've got to go outside.
And I know Fossum has been to San Diego couple times, so he kind of knows what's going on. So number four, all right, Sideshow Collectibles has a new line called City of the Dead. I forget what it's called, but it's like a horror.
I don't look at their stuff because it's too much.
Each figure has to be like at least $500 minimum, but it's a new like horror themed IP that is from Sideshow Collectibles. They're developing a comic book line, a toy line, a sculpture line. I believe they even said that they're doing novels and stuff. Those were unbelievable. Pictures will be going up of that soon. Again, we didn't have the best Wi-Fi connection in the murder RV, so we were unable to get like a ton of work done. The third coolest thing that I saw. Let's see here. I'm going to go with the Animation Domination Activation that was outside from Fox. They had a whole carnival that was
the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, they had a whole carnival that was like Bob's Burgers, The Simpsons, Bless Their Hearts, and Family Guy themed. You could win all sorts of different stuff. You could get Linda glasses and buttons from each of the cartoons. And the ultimate side of it was the giant Ferris wheel that was advertising The Simpsons. That was a lot of fun.
We went up into it while Gabe peed himself.
Yeah, like I'm not good with heights, but it was still really cool. Number two, second coolest thing that I saw is going to definitely be Super 7's Bodega. The things that they had on offer were like 100% the kind of shit that I love. It's all Universal Monsters, Garbage Pail Kids, kitschy bullshit, like all of it, like ridiculously expensive because it's like, you know, high end, like vinyl toys, Keshi toys, that sort of stuff. And then the number one thing that I saw, I have to give to Amazon Prime's video, Boys Experience. That was really, really fun.
It was fun.
It was like, it was, it's so funny. It's one of the first things we did at the con. And in a lot of ways, I feel like it completely fucking spoiled me for the rest of the con. I was like, well, if it's not as cool as the boys, I'm not interested.
I really,
no, I was still interested, but
I really enjoyed the Doctor Who VR, man.
Oh, there
that
you
was
go.
Really cool. That well, was. It was. I don't have a top five because
well,
I'm
augment me with like two other things besides Doctor
the boys.
Who that you
I
love.
Mean, the boys is definitely the top of the
Fine.
List.
Find one other the thing that you love that's different.
It's hard for me. Like I liked the when we went into Amazon's booth, they had a like it's silly because they had all their VR all their equipment. All the
AV
shit
the is AV, the word you're looking for.
All their AV equipment in the coolest build because we walked up and like, oh, what's this? And he's like, oh, it's nothing. It's just where we store everything.
But
it
was like the coolest shit.
And it was crazy. Like I was like, oh, that's the coolest structure. The boys was definitely my favorite. The VR game though was really cool. It was. I don't like VR generally. I'm not a big fan of it. But that
I almost fell down doing it. Like I really am not good at VR.
But I it's something that I pick up pretty quickly. You know, because I do a lot of when I did game. I did a lot of first person shooters and things like that where you've got to do different sides of the remote and shit. So it was pretty. I don't want to say it was easy, but it was very familiar.
It was easy. So, like, it wasn't hard.
Right.
It's just the immersive nature of it, like, always makes me feel kind of funky, so.
I thought that was cool, though. That was really cool. But I'm so focused on
getting work
everything.
Done. Yeah.
Getting the work done. Where are we going next? Is the recorder on? Are we taking video? I'm so focused on all of that I don't – sometimes I just – everything
you got
is a
blinders.
Blur. Like,
yeah.
It's just you're going forward to the next thing, so.
And, of course, amazing cosplay. We will have a cosplay gallery coming up. I didn't take a ton of cosplay pictures because I think a lot of people do that, and I just wanted to get the best that I saw.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, we're at officially 1 hour.
Yeah,
so
we're going to wrap this guy up. It's going to be a little bit of a long episode on the podcast. That's okay because
the last one we did
was like 45 minutes.
Well,
I think
too.
These get a little long because we start talking. But, this has been episode 126 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
Be sure to check us out at www.totlb.com to find out all the different ways you can contact us on social media. Don't worry, Nips. Twitch is coming soon.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And None of that sentence sounds right.
Yeah, I know.
None of that sentence.
And of course, please visit us at patreon.com/TOTLB to support the show. We absolutely love you guys. Chelsea, you are very welcome. I'm glad that we got to share.
And there's so much more to come. So I literally have so many videos on my laptop right now that are getting ready to get up. So you'll be able to see kind of what we saw.
Whatever you do, go to our YouTube page, tinyurl.com/TOTLBTube. Subscribe, hit the notification button so that you don't miss anything. Juan has got so much awesome shit to post for you guys.
And it's going to fall. It's going to fall to, like, because I don't, the videos, even though we repost them to Facebook as well, we're posting everything as well. So they're going to go to the bottom. You may miss something.
Yeah.
So if you're not subscribed, you should definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel.
For sure. And hit that notification so that it comes up on your phone. Guys, we love you very much. We will talk to you very soon. Look forward to new episodes. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe.
Wish us luck. We've got about 4 hours of sleep coming up and a 16-hour drive. So other than that, I think we're good.
Yeah. Have a great week, guys.
Chelsea, Chris.
Dom.
John joined for a couple seconds. Thank you, everybody, for interacting. Appreciate it.
And if you like what you see, be sure to share. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.